fight. I've kept the faith, finished the course.
Amen.
And he finally found the finish.
Yes. Amen.
There's a finish line out there somewhere for each and every one of us. Heard about a man that was kind of had defects, and he wanted to run a marathon. They said, "You'll never make it." He said, "I'll make it. I'll make it." And he started running, and the people come across the finish line first, and he was nowhere to be found. And they all finished the race, and everybody just about was gone home, except the people that was waiting on him. Finally, hours after the first runner came in, he finally came in. He didn't win, but he finished. You know, and that's what we got to do.
Amen.
We just got to be there at the end. That's all there is to it. We just got to finish. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. I was studying this morning for the message, and God laid these scriptures on my heart. And I don't know exactly what we're going to wind up doing with it, but you be much in prayer tonight. Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden. They just Adam and Eve and the devil. That's who was there. And God was there periodically. But in the first verse of the third chapter, the Bible said, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. And their eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the service. God, I ask you, Lord, just to bless in the preaching tonight. Anoint this preacher, Lord, that we might bring the message that the way that you would have it brought. God, I ask you, Father, today to help each one of us to realize and to know that, Father, we've got to just stay close to Jesus. Lord, help us tonight, Father, in this last days we're living in. Father, you said peerless times would come, and even now they're here. Lord, I ask you just to help us tonight. God, just bless in this service and remain in part. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now the Bible says here, the serpent started off with him. Said he's more subtle than any other beast that the Lord had made in the garden. And this word subtle, that means that he's sneaky and conniving, and he's really a crude operator. He's somebody that is a tempter, and he's somebody that is trying to be sneaky, and he's somebody that would lie to you. He's not somebody that you'd want to be friends with, though a lot of people are in this world that we're living in. But this serpent, he got in a conversation with the woman, with Eve, and the Bible said that he said unto her, "Yea, hath God said, Ye shall eat of every tree of the garden." Now the devil's looking for a way here to tempt Eve. There's only one way that Adam and Eve could have sinned. There's so much sand in the world today. I mean, it's not a bit hard to sin accidentally or on purpose. I mean, I'm telling you something. Just about anything that you could think of to do is a sin. I mean, I'm telling you. One lady said one time, sin is just anything that you don't like to do. That's what you would call sin for me. If you don't like to do it, it's a sin. That's the way a lot of people are. Anything that they don't like, they don't think you are to like it either. And that's about the way that we judge sin in this world. There's so many things that we can do. I was talking to somebody yesterday. I said, how many times do we go through a day busy and just maybe forget to pick up our Bible and read? That's a sin. The Bible said to them that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it's a sin. You go to bed at night. A lot of times I went to bed and I lay down and I say, Father, I thank you for this day, and that's just about as far as I get before I'm sound asleep. I should have talked to God before I laid down. I already know better than to lay down first, because after I lay down, the conversation is over with. But I want to tell you something, that's not right. That's a sin. You say, well, that's not too bad. It may not be too bad. I'm not saying it's the worst sin in the world. But I'll tell you something today, I believe the way the Bible teaches, sin is sin. I mean, that's just the way it is. But there's so much that we can do and that we can be guilty of. The only sin they could possibly commit in the garden was to eat the tree that God said don't eat of. That's only, they had one commandment. Don't eat the fruit off that tree. And that's the only thing that was the only sin that there was. They could have done anything else they wanted to do in that garden and it wouldn't have been a sin except that one thing. And so the devil called Eve and said, hath God said you can eat of all the trees? And she said, nope. He said we could eat of all of them except the one in the middle of the garden. And he said, the day we eat of that or even touch it, we'll die. Now, I hear people that get in an argument sometimes or a discussion about God didn't really say not to touch it. Well, if you wasn't going to eat of it, I don't think you'd touch it either. So that's no big deal with me. Eve just told the devil that God said don't touch it. That might have been what Adam told her that God said. I don't know and I don't care. That's not the important thing. The important thing was that she said, if we eat of that tree, when God said we would die. And then the devil, being what he is, being subtle, the devil said, you shall not die. You know, it's easy to look at this and maybe you think about the devil talking to Eve and what kind of a voice have you ever imagined the voice that must have come out of this? Well, it was a serpent, but it was the devil and that serpent. What kind of a voice? Listen, I want to tell you something. I don't care what his voice sounds like. I don't want to be talking to him. And I don't want him talking to me either. But he does a lot of times. But I can just imagine as he was trying to tempt Eve to eat this fruit that God said not to eat of. She said, God said don't eat it and don't touch it, because if we do, we're going to die. Now I want to ask you something. Why was Eve even carrying on a conversation with the devil to start with? What is this that made her want to stop and talk to the devil? I've heard some people say that they think that all the animals could talk back in the garden before sin came into it. I don't know if they could or not. The Bible don't say they could, and I mean, I don't know where they get their information from or where they base that on, but apparently the serpent was doing a pretty good job talking. But what is it that made Eve, maybe she was just walking through the garden and just went by, and the serpent said, hey lady, come here a minute. I don't know. Why would she even carry on a conversation with somebody that's telling her to do the exact opposite of what God said to do? God tells us things to do. Why would I want to listen to you tell me I don't have to do that? You know, there's people today that will try to tell you, you don't have to go to church as much as you go. Well, that's not necessary in this world that we live in. We're living under the day of grace. Yeah, you're living under grace if you're under grace. But I want to tell you something. If you're trying to hinder other people from doing the work of God, I don't know if you're under grace or not. But why would you even carry on a conversation with somebody that's telling you something like that? People say, well, you know, I don't think it's necessary to pray over your food. Well, if you don't think it's necessary, don't you do it. But I want to tell you something. As old as I am, and as far as I know, I've never had food poisoning. But I talk to people all the time that have. Now, is it because I pray and bless my food? I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't intend to quit.
Amen.
There's a lot of times people eat something, they say, boy, that makes me sick. I've not ever had a problem like that because I pray and I give God thanks for what He's given me and I ask Him to bless it. And I want to tell you something. I think if there's any sickness in it, I think God can take it out. I want to tell you something. And you can tell me all day long, I don't have to do that. You go ahead and tell me that. I'm not going to talk to you. I'll talk to you when you start talking sense.
Hey.
But Eve stopped and got in a conversation with the devil. Why did she do that? I think maybe she had already been looking at that tree. I don't know. I just kind of, in my mind's eye, I think that maybe when she went by close to that tree, she stopped and looked at it and said, man, that must be really good. See, the devil ain't even started yet. You know what it is? The Bible said in the book of James, he said, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust.
Amen.
When you are drawn away of your own lust, then the devil's job of tempting you becomes easier. And James said, every man drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then he went on, he said, and then lust, when it's conceived, bring forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bring forth death.
Amen.
I think Eve might have already been entertaining the idea of taking, man, I mean, why don't God want me to have that? Have you ever heard somebody say, and I've heard it used to a lot of time, don't much anymore, but people used to say, well, God just don't want us to have any fun at all. God just wants you to serve Him and love Him and worship Him. It's not that God don't want you to have fun. Most of the things that we call fun will get you killed.
Amen.
Most of the things that we draw that we call fun will draw you away from the love of God. Most of the things that we think is fun is going to be a divider between us and having a fellowship and companionship with God.
Amen.
I don't know. I mean, I just think that Eve was apparently already looking at that tree, maybe. And the devil's... the serpent, he's hanging around in the tree, and he might have seen her looking at it. And I mean, it's things that might have been, I don't know, the Bible don't say. But for some reason, she got in a conversation that she shouldn't have never got into. You ever done that? You ever talk to somebody and they say something to you, and you bark off something, and as soon as you do, you say, I wish I hadn't said that. You ever done that? Boy, I wish I could get that back. I wish I could get them words back. I wish I could bury that in the depths of the sea somewhere. Well, maybe you shouldn't have been talking to that person to start with. You see, if somebody gets you in that kind of a shape that you'll be saying things that you regret after you say it, don't talk to that person. James said that if we wanted to be perfect, and I don't believe in sinless perfection. I don't believe in that. I know some people that do, but I don't. You're looking at one that just don't believe it. I don't preach it, and I know it's impossible. But the thing James said was, if we could learn to bridle our tongue, we'd be perfect. Now that's saying a lot, ain't it? With everything else that there is in the world today to tempt us and to draw us away from God. And James said, if you bite your tongue, you could be perfect. Man, that's saying something. Well, Eve should have bit her tongue because she's talking to the devil. And getting in a pretty good conversation with him. But I wonder, I read these verses and I think the devil, when Eve said, God said the day that we eat that tree, we're going to die. And I could just hear the devil barking off, said, you shall not surely die. I don't think that's the way he answered her. If he answered me like that, I'd say, this conversation's over and I'm out of here. You see, but I think what he did, he said, no, let me tell you something, sweetie. You shall not surely die. I mean, I think he had honey dripping out of his mouth. I mean, he was really enticing to this woman that was talking to him. I don't think he bit her head off or barked at her. I think he was just as sweet as a honeycomb. And he said, no, darling, you're not going to die. Just God don't want you to eat all the fine things of life. God just don't want you to have any fun. God's trying to save everything for himself. No, God's trying to just, he just wanted to see if they would love him enough to do one thing that he asked them to do. You love God enough to keep one commandment? That's what he was trying to find out. But the devil said, no, you're not going to die the day that you eat that. Listen, and the Bible said that Eve reached out and took the fruit. In the sixth verse, said, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food. And she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. And she saw that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. Why didn't she see that it was a tree to be left alone and stay away from? All God did was said, don't eat of that tree. That's all he told them. That's all that he asked them. And he said, the day that you do is the day you'll die. And the devil said, you ain't going to die. Go ahead and get you a fruit or two off that. You're not going to die. Why did Eve believe the devil over God? Why do we believe the devil over God? He tells us that, you know, forsake not the assembling yourself together in the manner some is, and even more when you see that day approaching, and yet people sit at the house on Sunday night and Wednesday night a lot of times, and even on Sunday, and they say, I don't need to go to church. Well, according to what God's word said, you're supposed to go to church. But what the devil says is, it's just one service, ain't no big deal, and then it'll be just another service, ain't no big deal. First thing you know, going just staying home, not ever going to church, won't be a big deal. Why do we listen to what the devil says instead of what God says? That's what Eve did. I don't understand why. Maybe people say when they get to heaven, they're going to attack Adam. Maybe it's Eve needs attacked. She's the one that started all this. She's the one that got in a conversation with the devil. It wasn't Adam. And she's the one that ate the tree and saw that it was good. And in verse number 6, and then she took it and gave it to her husband, and he ate too. She probably went to him and said, Adam, you remember that tree God said for us not to eat? Well, look here, I ate it, and I'm not dead. I'm still alive. And Adam said, boy, you are. Let me have a bite of that. See, listen, don't follow anybody that's going down the wrong road.
Amen.
What Adam should have done, said, hey, if that's the fruit off that tree, you need to get over on the other side of the garden, because I don't know what death is, but I don't want to be around when it happens. But he took the fruit and ate it. The Bible said the eyes of both of them were open. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Man, the way some girls and women dress today, they'd be better off if they sewed fig leaves together. I'm telling you something. I don't know why women in this state we live in want to run around revealing everything, showing off everything they got, and trying to entice somebody to look at them. And I tell you something, I've seen men staring at women, and the woman turns and say, "What are you staring at?" Well, if you wasn't dressed like that, they wouldn't be staring at nothing. I mean, you know, we need to get our clothes on, keep our clothes on. And I mean, that's my belief, and I believe the Bible will back me up in it. The Bible said they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, but that wasn't good enough. You can't clothe yourself from your unrighteousness. And so God had to come and kill an innocent animal to make them clothes. Listen, you can try to cover your sin, but you can't cover your sin. It takes God to do that.
Amen.
But Eve gave Adam, and Adam did eat of the fruit, and their eyes were open, and they saw immediately that they had a problem.
Amen.
You know something? You know, when you get out and you do something that's not right, and don't tell me you don't know what that's like, because I don't think there's anybody in here that's lived all your life and never done anything wrong. So don't sit there and say, "No, preacher, I don't know what that feels like." Well, I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like when you do something and all the time the Holy Spirit of God is saying, "Don't do that. Don't do that," and you're just ignoring Him. And you're going to go do it anyway. You know, it's like we were somewhere the other day and I wanted something to eat. I don't remember what it even was now, but it wasn't something I should have had. There's a lot of things I shouldn't have, but this was one of them, and I said, "I'm going to get that." And I did. And I ate it. And she said, "Well, did you enjoy it?" I said, "Well, it wasn't really worth, you know, I wish I hadn't ate it." I mean, no, I didn't really enjoy it. It wasn't all that great. And after you get on the other side of it, you're like, "Why did I do that? That's dumb, man. I wish I could go back before and just don't do it." And that's the way we are a lot of times with God. He says, "Don't do that." And you say, "I'm going to do that. I've been wanting to do that for a while. And I'm going to do that." And the Spirit of God said, "Don't do that."
Amen.
"Yeah, I'm going to do that." And then when you get done, you feel rotten. You feel awful. You feel so dirty. And I mean, you get, and you know what? The last thing you want to do is talk to God about this, because He told you not to do it. Start with, now you got yourself in a shape and a condition where you feel so bad, you know you got to repent, but God is the last person you want to talk to. That's where Adam and Eve were. I think that God came and walked through the garden with them every evening. The Bible don't really say that He did that. But it does say in verse number 8 that they heard the voice of God walking in the wilderness, in the garden. I don't think it was just the voice of God. That's just what they heard. I think God Himself was walking in the garden. I mean, that's just my way. That's what I'm thinking. And so God is walking in the garden and they heard His voice. You know what His voice said? "Adam, where art thou?" And He said, "I'm hid. I'm hid from you. That's where I'm at." They heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden, because they had sinned against God, and as the last person in the world that they wanted to see. I believe He came down in the cool of every evening. I think He walked up to Adam, maybe even put His arm around him. Man, I tell you, when I was a little boy, there was certain people that could put their arm around my neck, and I'd just about melt. I did. I mean, man, my dad, he could walk up beside me and just lay his arm on my shoulder. And I just melted. And I think maybe that's the way God did Adam. And now this day, God's come looking for Adam and he can't find him. He knows where he is. God knows everything.
Yes.
But he knows where he is. But he said the voice of God walking in the wilderness and in the garden amongst the trees. And the Lord called Adam in verse number 9 and said, "Where art thou?" He knew where he was. Listen, when you get out of fellowship with God, he don't have to ask you where you are. He knows exactly where you
Amen.
Are. He knows exactly where you're hid at. But he just wants you to come clean.
Amen.
You know, my dad one time, I told you, I beat one of his doors up. He just painted, man, I made a mess out of it. Because I was trying to rescue my sister. I thought she was locked in the room. And she's probably setting me up, looking back on it. I mean, that's just the way my sister did me. I mean, we get into something, I get whooping and she get patted on the back. I imagine she just did that so I'd get another whooping. But I thought she was in trouble. And I took something and beat that door. I mean, there wasn't a place on it I didn't hit trying to knock it open. And my daddy said, "Did you do that?" I said, "No, sir." Well, he knew I did. Wasn't nobody else in there could have done it. And he said, "Now, are you sure you didn't do that?" I said, "No, I didn't do it. If you're lying to me, I'm going to wear you out." And I said, "Uh-oh, I better quit lying." I said, "Yes, I did it." And he, boy, I'm telling you, he wore me out anyway. He said, "I ain't whooping you for beating my door all up. I'm whooping you for lying to me." See, I was in the middle. I was caught in the crosshairs. I was going to get shot either way. I didn't have a way out. And that's where Adam and Eve was. God came and said, "Adam, where art thou? Where art thou?" And Adam, he answered the Lord. He said in verse number 10, he said, and he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He told on his own self right there. If God hadn't have known, he just told on himself. He said, "I was afraid because I was naked." And the next thing God wanted to know is, how did you know you was naked? Who told you? "You ate of the tree that I told you not to eat of." And the story goes on, you know how that the Bible says that God cast them out of the Garden of Eden. They was in a garden paradise. They needed nothing. They had want of nothing. Everything. It was a perfect world that they lived in. And they would never have died. I believe man was created to live eternally.
Amen.
I believe that because the Bible said that God put them out of the garden and said we better put them out before they take of the tree of life and live forever. They could have lived forever. Why didn't they go to the tree of life and eat of that? No, that ain't what the devil wanted them to do. Because God didn't tell them not to do that. All God told them not to do, don't eat of this tree over here. And that's the very one that the devil, if he can get them to eat of that tree, then he's got them right where he wants them. And he's messed up everything that God created. That's it. That's been his plan ever since the world began.
Amen.
Mess up what God made. Listen, after this occasion, you never find where the voice of God ever walked with Adam again. Never find where God ever came walking and say, "Adam, where art thou?" Never done it again after this. It broke their fellowship. It broke their communion with one another. But you know something? Ever since this day, the devil is always talking to us. But God has never came back and walked with us. I want to tell you something tonight. I would rather have fellowship with God any day as have fellowship with the devil. I would rather have communion with God. I'd rather talk to Him and have Him talk to me as to talk to that other rascal. Yes. Do you know something? What, through Jesus' blood. Now Jesus already on the scene. He's not in the garden, but He's hanging around. Already, even before the world began, the plan of salvation was set in order. And so Jesus is here, and He knows right now what He's got to do. I've got to go and die on the cross at Calvary. I've got to shed my blood to draw man back to God. Because they were separated.
Amen.
And man could never find his own way back to God. It took Jesus, the intercessor,
Amen.
The propitiation,
yes.
Our counselor.
Amen.
It took Him dying on the cross of Calvary to reach out and bridge the gap that the devil made between God and man on this day right here. Don't you know that Adam, night after night, day after day, for 830 years, I believe he lived, I think. Of course, we don't know how long he lived before time started. Who knows? But I believe that Adam went through every day. And probably, I can just about imagine, it's one of them things that I imagine that the Bible don't say. But I just see Adam coming in out of the field. God said, you're going to eat by the sweat of your brow. And Adam worked and he worked and he worked and he worked. For 830 years he worked and he worked and he worked because of this. And I can just hear him coming in. And he saying, did God show up anywhere today? No, honey. No, he's not been back since that day down there in the garden that we was hid from him. Oh, listen, I don't want to hide from God. I want to be out where he can find me. I want to be where he can use me. I want to be where he can do something with me. I'm not wanting to be hid from him. But there's been times in my life when I did hide from him. I did. I ain't got no lies to tell you. I got in something that I shouldn't have got into. Said something I shouldn't have said. Did something I shouldn't have did. Went somewhere I shouldn't have went. And the last thing I want to do is talk to God. I don't want to talk to Him. Because I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I'm humiliated. I don't want to talk to God. He's holy and I'm unholy. He's righteous and I'm unrighteous. He's perfect and I'm imperfect. I don't want to talk to Him. You know something? Thing about those things are when we sin against God, He has no trouble forgiving us. I'm thankful that in the New Testament, John wrote to us and he said, I write unto you little children that you sin not. But if you do sin, He put that in there for me. I mean, hey, He put that verse in there. But if you do, He could have put my name at the end of that and it wouldn't have been any more personal. If you do, because I know you're going to. You little rascal. I know you. I know what you're going to do. I know what you're capable of. And I know what you're incapable of. And I'm going to write this to you, Dave Hutchison. Thou shalt not sin. But if you do and when you do, you have an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
Oh, I'm so thankful that verse is in there. He said, all you got to do is just come and ask me, and I'll forgive you.
Amen.
But you know the one that has trouble forgiving me? Me.
Amen.
You see, I have trouble forgiving myself. You know, there's people walks around, and they have lived in sin, and they've come, and they've repented, and God has forgiven them. But they walk around like they're miserable all the time because they cannot forgive their own self.
Amen.
God's not holding it against us. We're holding it against ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm thankful today that I have a Heavenly Father that cares about me enough that He will forgive me. Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid that we would do that. I hear these fools, they say, I've got to sin a little bit every day, so I might as well go ahead and get it over with. Listen, you'll never hear me say anything like that, because I know before the day's over with, I'm bound to get it over with sometime or another. I'm not looking for something to get into. I'm trying to keep myself clean. And the best that I can do, I know that I'm going to fail.
Amen.
You think you'd fail every day? Probably. I wouldn't want to stand here and tell you that I could make it through one whole day without doing something, without blundering somewhere along the way. I might could, but it would be a surprise and a shock to me. But why did Eve want to talk to the devil? Adam was just waiting for the Lord to come by.
Yeah.
He's waiting for God to come by, and I imagine that the way this thing played out, he probably told Eve, he said, I'm just waiting for God to come talk to me. And she said, I got some of that fruit a while ago, and it didn't kill me. Here, you take some of it. Well, I might as well while I'm waiting for God. I want to tell you something, God came that day.
Amen.
But he never came back again after that. Listen, why do we do things like this? We've got so much that God can provide for us. I don't know if you've ever experienced loneliness. I have. 2,500 miles away from home. You start thinking about home, and then the next thought you have, if I started right now, I'd be 4 days nearly getting there. And that makes you feel so lonely. But then Jesus says, I'm with you.
Amen.
I'm with you always, even to the end of the world.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that I can't go anywhere where Jesus is not.
Yeah.
I went to New York and somebody said, boy, God ain't up there. Well, he is. He really is. He's there. And I went to New Jersey. I couldn't find him there, but no, he's there too. I went to California, and people say, boy, ain't no God in California. Ain't nothing out there but queers and lesbians and all that bunch of people. I got out in California, and you know what? I found a little Baptist church having a service in a truck stop. And I went in and had service with them, and you know what? The Lord was there.
Amen.
I've been in Kansas, and the Lord's there. Dorothy told Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore, but God still is. God's still there.
Amen.
I've been in just about every state, all except for Montana and Washington. I don't know how I missed those two. But I've been in every other state. I've been in Canada. I've been in Mexico. And God is in all those places. I've never been anywhere where He isn't.
Yeah.
People tell me He's not there. But He is when I get there because I take Him with me.
Amen.
You see, if I'm there, He's going to be there because He is with me always, even unto the end of the world. Why did Eve do what she did? I don't know. Why did she carry on a conversation with the devil? I don't know. Why do we? Why do you carry on a conversation with him? Somebody said something to me and I'm going to give them peace of my mind. It might be 2 or 3 days. You've got plenty of time to get over that, but you're not going to. You're laying up. You're loaded, buddy. And you're laying up for them. And you're going to tell them. You're going to tell them, and you don't care what anybody thinks about it. You're going to tell them exactly what you think. And as soon as you get done, you say, I wish I hadn't done that. Why do we sit around for 3 days and let the devil whisper in our ear? Boy, just keep cramming stuff in there. You're going to say, listen, hey, dismiss all that stuff. Live for Jesus, would you? Live for God. Let God live in you. Let Jesus, let the blessed Savior live inside of your heart tonight. While they come and get a song. This is the message God's laid on our heart tonight. Just let Jesus live in you. You know, it's really not that hard to live a Christian life. It would be if I was trying to live it myself. But if I let Jesus live it through me, it makes all the difference in the world. If I just follow Him, I won't never find the wrong road. I tell you, I'll always be going the right direction if I'm following the light. Father, we thank you for giving us another privilege to stand. Thank you, Lord, for the strength to stand this evening and preach your blessed word. Lord, I ask you, Father, to bless in the invitation. God, touch hearts here tonight. Cause people to realize what we need to do to have fellowship with you. Be with us now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. While we stand tonight and while we sing the number. 380.